Moneyline with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside to the VSiN Studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line, presented by DraftKings. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, the VP of Operations here at the Circa Resort and Casino, and Mike Pritchard, our VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first-round pick, and a national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes. Gentlemen, how are we doing today on this Friday?
Doing
Rancho.
Good.
He was great at Rancho. People don't talk enough about Rancho High School. Rodeo starts tonight.
A lot of folks in town.
A lot of folks for that. We just came off a heck of a weekend of college and pro football. Another upset on Thursday night. We'll find out tomorrow at 6 o'clock Pacific just how many Pittsburgh people got eliminated last night. There were 14 out of the 30 survivors had them eligible. Can't say till we announce all the picks, but obviously some portion of survivor got eliminated. Yeah, here we go for another big weekend.
Yeah, you know, staying power. I guess that's the name of the game right now in the NFL. Who has it? Who doesn't? Who can hang on? I mean, so many teams in AFC wants to back up. They want to back up. It feels that way anyway, so it could be intriguing.
Yeah, no, it's really intriguing this time of year, the scenarios and all that stuff that's going on with the playoff races, as we saw last night. We do have a fun show on deck for you guys for a couple of hours here. Michael Calabrese, college football analyst over at the Action Network, will be joining us in hour number two, 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 Pacific. We'll talk some college football with him, maybe get some early bowl thoughts, see what he has on Army-Navy coming up tomorrow afternoon. But let's talk about what we saw last night. I'm not sure what the bigger upset was, the game going over the total or the Patriots winning outright, but the Patriots do win outright 21-18 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers have now lost back-to-back games at home as near touchdown favorites. Not a good look here for Mike Tomlin and this team that's trying to make the playoffs. Trubisky last night I thought was a disaster with what he was doing, especially in that first half. And kudos to Bailey Zappi, 240 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, only 1 interception. But the Patriots looked as alive as we've seen them offensively for quite some time.
I thought it was shocking that they were able to drive the ball down the field. And, you know, it seemed like there might have been a change in philosophy of play calling for the Patriots. They were more aggressive, tried to stretch the field, but they looked halfway decent. I mean, this was a team that just got shut out at home by the Chargers, a team that got shut out at home by the Saints, a team that scored 3 points in Dallas. I'm not surprised it got over 30. I mean, Mike, you never even dreamed of a total of 30 when you played in the NFL. I mean, come on.
The rules are different, Mike.
It's hard. Yeah.
Rules are different.
It's hard to stay. It's hard to stay under. But I mean, this is back-to-back losses to two-win teams for Tomlin and the Steelers. And the crowd turned quickly on Mitch Trubisky last night.
I think they turned on our organization. I think they turned on Tomlin too. I mean, that was a poorly coached game. Tomlin needs to take more accountability, more responsibility for what happened out there. Seems like he doesn't want to. Seems like he's kind of distancing himself from that. But the struggles offensively for Pittsburgh are real. They have been real all year. When you're at home, certainly, and you're not really scoring a lot of points, they haven't been scoring a lot of points. I mean, you could factor in, what, 2 touchdowns tops for the Steelers. But, you know, take points when you have a chance. You know, they went for it on fourth down with a struggling offense. It cost them after a turnover. And then I just think when Belichick and that defense is playing soft coverage, and yet you're running your receivers deep enough to run into coverage, that's a problem offensively. How are you not implementing the quick game? How are you not getting the ball out of Trubisky's hands quickly? Just take the decision process away from a quarterback that's struggling. Just say, look, this guy's going to be wide open 5 yards from the line of scrimmage. Doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter the route. But yet Pittsburgh did not do that. And they got away from who they are again, which is indicative of a team searching for themselves and the answers. And trick plays inside the red zone with the tight end. I mean, that's stupid. I think from a betting standpoint, be more critical on these coaches. It is easy to coach in the National Football League if you have the players, right? I mean, if you are loaded with the roster, if you are loaded with talent, I don't care what coach you are, to be honest with you, because a lot of times coaches get in the way. You got to, as an offensive coordinator, you got to let your best players make plays right now. It's not about your scheme. It's not about you thinking that your scheme is the next best thing since sliced bread. It's not. because teams have caught up to your scheme. Teams have caught up to your tendencies. But what they haven't caught up to is your mismatches and your best players. And Pittsburgh, they don't feature their best players in a way that they should.
Are their best players good enough?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Pickens. Skill players good enough?
Yeah, I think so. Pickens, Freiermuth, take your pick, running back. I mean, it's just the creativity or lack thereof. I think it factors back on the coaching staff and the fact that they can't get out of whatever they're meeting about. Like, our scheme, hey, there we go. But you can get into trouble, and when you think that your scheme is going to get you out of trouble this late in the season.
Would you say the opposite side of that argument, or to what you were talking about, was Monday night with Cincinnati and Jake Browning?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I was on primetime with Tim, and I said, look, you know, Jake Browning, you know, he's not Joe Burrow, right? We get that. But if you surround him with the type of playmakers he has, now they're true to who they are and their identity. And I think T. Higgins coming back, he's the number one receiver on a lot of other teams. You can elevate that position. Quarterback is the most dependent position on the field. Have to have the offensive line. You have to have the running back understand protection. And you have to have the receivers getting open. Or the quarterback is doo-doo, really. I mean, but you can elevate a quarterback that is not the caliber of an elite quarterback with elite players around him.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, I mean, we're talking about Jaylen Warren. I mean, he touched the ball 11 times in that game. George Pickens, 5 catches for 19 yards. Like, Pickens is a big play kind of a guy. To only have 5 catches for 19 yards, that kind of speaks to the scheme there. And when you talk about this scheme, because this scheme has overgone some changes because they went ahead and had their offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, he was fired. Now they have the new OCs in there calling the plays. Do you think that you still see the problems that we saw with Canada, or can you attribute a little bit of last night to obviously the quarterback being Mitch Trubisky and not Kenny Pickett?
Yeah, I mean, I think Trubisky is reluctant to throw the ball in there, right? He's reluctant to thread the needle, right? And that's the tendency thing. And that's what you know. That's the book on Trubisky. But as a coordinator, as a coaching staff, you also have to understand that. So how can I change that, or how can I be different? Should I still run the same stuff that they prepared for all week? Or should I move guys around, be creative with formations and personnel? I think that can help out and throw off a defense. And therefore, okay, you know, Trubisky, we know that you're reluctant to do certain things. You don't have to. We're not going to ask you to do that, right? But I think a lot of times, and you can see it down the stretch here in the National Football League, when quarterback play is so poor and god-awful right now, that these coaches that are trying to win games from the sidelines, they get themselves in trouble more times than they should. And I think you can take advantage of that as a better.
Yeah, I mean, half the AFC is starting backup quarterbacks right now, and it's pretty unprecedented what we've seen from a QB injury situation all throughout this year. From a Pittsburgh standpoint, in terms of making the playoffs, they fall to 7-6 with this loss. Over at DraftKings, the yes on them to make the playoffs is now +180, the no -220, pretty much telling you highly unlikely they make it. Was last night kind of the nail in the coffin for the Steelers' chances to make the postseason?
Yes. For me, the answer is a simple one. Yes. Draw a line through them. What happened to Trubisky? He took 2 Bears teams to the playoffs. Has he regressed to this point?
Well, you know what? It's fascinating because I think when players regress, you wonder why, right? Lack of confidence or something. Like if I'm a receiver and all of a sudden I start dropping the football, then there's something going on up here. There's something where I'm not as confident as I once was. But I think when you're a starter like that and now you're a backup, you're not focused like you once were. I think Trubisky, he probably says the right things and does the right things in the week of practice, but he's a backup, right? He's no longer the franchise quarterback or thought of to be a franchise quarterback. And so there's some things and some cloudiness that you got to work through as a player with that. So I think if you know you're a backup, like Gardner Minshew, we were talking about him pre-show.
Yeah.
He knows that he's a backup and he's going out there and he has no care in the world. And he's playing free. Am I going to make a ton of mistakes? Yeah, but you know what? The expectations aren't that high on me, right?
Could the same be said about Zach Wilson in terms of the loss of confidence and the just kind of not as dialed in as he might have been when he was the face of the franchise, quote unquote?
Yeah, there's more layers with that to me, Femi, because he's a guy that lacks accountability. Like, I don't know if Zach Wilson has it upon himself to become better or to turn himself into a better player. That's the problem. Like, he's got everything you would want in a quarterback from an arm talent standpoint, the size, the athleticism, all this stuff. But he's not getting better. And that's on him. That's not on a scheme. That's on a coaching staff. That's not on a team. Right. It doesn't matter if he went to a different situation. We went to San Francisco. He would probably still stink because he doesn't have it unless somebody out there can help him unlock what he needs to unlock.
What's the attitude in that locker room knowing, and we're assuming, but I think all the signs are there.
Oh, yeah.
Especially Rodgers calling for no more leagues, that he did not want to be a starter again and said, no, you demoted me. I don't want to play anymore.
Right. It's accountability.
Well, I mean, how can that be for the rest of the team?
How do you want to play with that guy?
You don't. But for himself, Femi, look, the only way you make money in this league is if you're on the field playing. Yeah. And you're going to tell me you don't want to go out there and play because what? You got some bad feelings towards the organization? I mean, what the hell is that, right?
He's in his feelings for sure.
Yeah, but it just tells you more about the entitlement of certain players that, you know, I'm good. I don't need to go out there. No, I don't need to prove myself. What are you talking about? Go back out there, you know, but it's entitlement. And the fact that coaches don't recognize it, that's what gets them fired. When you have the Drew Locks of the world and, you know, or the Zach Wilsons of the world and all these people, all these other quarterbacks that feel entitled or any other position. Or any other sport for that matter. When you see entitlement, run away from it.
Well, for the New York Jets, they tried to run away from it. Unfortunately, it came back full circle when Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles opening night. We'll get more into that story as well as the rest of the NFL headlines on the other side. Just getting warmed up here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Deuce Reel is a free betting intelligence app and a tool that every bettor needs. And what it does for you is that it links all your betting accounts into one app and it delivers in-depth analytics on your betting history. Find out for yourself. Download Juice Reel like orange juice and Reel, R-E-E-L. Download the free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. It's free. Juice Reel, juice, R-E-E-L. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard here hanging out at the Circa Resort and Casino. Before the show started, we actually had to settle a wager between the two of you guys. Mm-hmm. Fortunately for Pritch, he was on the losing end as Mike Palm goes ahead and takes that $20 from him. Georgia unable to get into the CFP after losing in the SEC title game. And we have our final four.
Yeah, one loss in what, 2 years? And they're not one of the four best teams.
One loss in Sia.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, excellent. Nobody wants to see a three-peat either, I guess, huh? I mean,
they already had two SEC teams.
I know.
Right? Texas and Alabama. Right. It's two SEC against two Big Ten, which is a foreshadowing. And in 8 years, there'll only be two conferences. Yeah,
so they did get two SEC teams in there.
And two Big Ten teams.
And nobody's really thinking about it right? Yeah. But I lost. If it cost me $20 to get rid of that garbage, though, that's all right. I'm good. You're welcome, America.
you hate the 14 playoff.
I hated it.
You'd
since
rather
the
have the bowl system and the polls.
I'd rather have a playoff like we should have had years ago.
Like a legitimate playoff.
Yes. I think 6 is also a reasonable number, but 12 is better.
6, 8, 12 takes arguments out of it. Mm-hmm. You can't argue past 12, right?
Wouldn't you like to see Arizona in the playoff? Which they'd get in the top 12. Wouldn't you like to see Missouri? Yes. Missouri and see what these teams can.
Right. Yeah. Reward. And I said this all year long about the middle of the pack of a conference. Those teams are getting better. You know, you look at the transfer
Penn State.
Right. Well, the transfer portal is helping out a lot of schools, a lot of teams. And I think if you're, for instance, locally, if you're UNLV, you go from worst to first. You know, Odom's done a great job, but man, look at the portal. Look at the athletes that he's getting to on top of what they recruited. So I think you can get good, quick, fast, in a hurry in college football now. And therefore, I'm happy that we're at 12 teams now.
Everyone's allowed to get better unless you're the backup quarterback for Florida State. You're not allowed to get better. We don't think you're good. So see you later.
You don't think with a month of prep.
That's my thing.
A month of prep for that kid and that defense that they couldn't have kept within a touchdown of any of these four schools.
Come up with a game plan.
I think they'd give Michigan a good game.
I think they would too.
I think, you know, so when these lines came out, right? Mm-hmm. I bet both dogs. I took 2.5 and 4.5. And I really... am leaning to doing a money line parlay. I think Washington's got a good chance to win this whole thing. I think they're actually.
You saw them live. Yeah, I saw them live.
You saw them live. I think they've got a good chance to win the, at 7.5 to 1. Right. That you can bet them right now to win two games.
Yeah, seeing them live and seeing them like, because you don't get the whole picture on TV, right? In terms of what they were doing with the secondary to kind of limit Bo and limit Oregon. I mean, Oregon didn't want to run the football.
What's wrong? But their third and short play calling is so bad, Femi.
Sprint right.
Let's do it. What's that damn sprint right play?
But Washington in the trenches, they were more dominant. They were more physical. They were more aggressive. And, I mean, they are really, really impressive. Yeah.
We're going to have a lot of time to talk about the CFP coming up here, but I'm very interested. I don't know if Washington can win the whole thing. I do think they win the Sugar Bowl, though, and beat Texas. That I'm in agreement with you there. But we'll see what happens. But
did you take the points already?
I haven't bet it yet. Okay. I'm still hanging out waiting to see what happens.
You're monitoring.
It's on the monitor list.
Would they beat Georgia?
Washington?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, they should be in the playoff. Give me my 20 back.
It's over, Chris.
Georgia's in the Orange Bowl with Florida State?
Maybe. They might boycott that thing.
Both teams boycott. Kirby Smart and Mike Norvell out there boycotting the Orange Bowl. Sorry down there in Miami. In the NFL, though, speaking of boycott, Zach Wilson's trying to boycott playing quarterback for the New York Jets. The story that came out, they said that he was reluctant to play. It had been shot down by the Jets. Robert Saleh was trying to do his best to be like, oh no, Zach came into the office and said that he wants to play, but we're not sure if we want him out there yet. And like, there's been a whole lot of spin doctor stuff going on here for gangrene. From a betting standpoint, when you see all of this happening, the market still had a lot of interest in the New York Jets. And maybe that this is just, hey, it's no longer Tim Boyle and he's a disaster. So like, there's actually a quarterback playing in this game, but still, like, there's a quarterback out there who probably doesn't want to be out there based on what we heard this week.
I laid the points here. Mm-hmm. I think this could be an all-time disaster on Sunday with the Jets and could go turn south very quickly. Frankly, I wasn't impressed with their defense against. I thought Atlanta moved the ball. They let Ritter make some plays I haven't seen him make all year. Yeah. Some throws in bad weather. And I have to tell you, I thought the Texans, Broncos, we look forward to that game. I ended up taking 3.5 there.
That last sequence.
Yeah, but I shouldn't even have been in the game. The Texans left Denver in the game. They really dominated the game, I thought. I'm very impressed with this Texans offense. Yeah. And I'm very impressed with DeMeco Ryan. We'll get to this coach of the year discussion. But I think everybody has to take a very hard look at him. I laid the 3.5 here. I'm not waiting, hoping it comes down to 3 because I don't think it will. Right? It's juiced more the other way. So, I just think the whole accountability, leadership. It's a powder keg waiting to go really south on Sunday.
It's possible. Highly possible. The wheel's about to fall off that thing. But I just trashed the Zach Wilson. Watch he have a fantastic game, though, right, against the Texans.
Game of his life.
The game of his life.
Save his career.
You know, from a betting standpoint, and that's the thing, like, has Robert Saleh lost the locker room? I mean, I think I would start there because of some of the decisions that they've made. And the clown show that it's been. Like, you make a guy a starter and then you cut him. And now you want the other guy back in there. And so in the locker room, you kind of lose confidence that, hey, they don't know what they're doing up there.
In a way, I feel bad for Saleh because I don't think he's making any of the decisions.
I think Joe Douglas is making
the decisions, and he's stuck with them. But he does a bad job of trying to sell it for the organization.
Oh, yeah. Well, it also means that he's not a strong enough coach, though. Like, if the GM really is calling on the shots, then, you know, as players, we know that. Mm-hmm. And they haven't utilized their personnel. Nathaniel Hackett, it lacks creativity, right? We just talked about my scheme. And so how is he going to help Zach Wilson execute better? That's, to me, is a bet. Like, can he do that? And can he do that against the DeMeco Ryans defense that's been playing very, very well? Now, I think the injuries are kind of catching up to the Texans a little bit. So I talked to the syndicate. This could be a teaser play just because of the type of game. I saw juice with the Jets here in Vegas with their defense, but until the juice ran out. You know, in this game against CJ, maybe the juice lasts a little bit longer with that defense. If it can, then that makes it attractive from a teaser standpoint.
And I think what works well for the syndicate is that Houston, like Mike said, that like they've had trouble kind of blowing teams out. Like they kind of kept Denver in that game.
Right.
9.5 if you tease that up to that number. Maybe it's just the Texans win by 3, 4, 5 points or something like
four
that.
Four would be all right.
Four would be great. You're rooting for four.
I'm a little worried, though, after your declaration on Zach, because, see? I mean, look how the Commanders defense fell apart after they got rid of Del Rio. I mean, so you were history has proven you wrong on that one. And
well, they didn't fall apart. They didn't fall apart. They were already apart.
And here came Tua and Tyreek. Wow.
There was no duct tape.
Oh man, that was really horrible. That's the team that gave up.
There's a guy
right
sitting
in front of your eyes.
Sitting next to me here on Sunday, and he kept saying, "Is now a good time to get on the under on this game?" I said, "Nah, I just leave it going. Yeah, find a different spot if you want."
That thing. When's the last
turn
time?
Turn your attention to another game.
Yeah. When's the last time Rivera actually called defense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was nasty.
Hopefully Sunday was the last time he called defense after what we saw against the Dolphins. The game in Cleveland is interesting. Jacksonville taking on the Browns. Right now, the Browns 3-point favorites, total 32.5. The uncertainty surrounding Trevor Lawrence, the Jaguars quarterback, injured his ankle Monday night, short week. Limited in practice on Thursday. I think he's also going to be out there once again here today. That's a quick turnaround for what they're calling a high ankle sprain. Do you think that Lawrence goes out there and tries to give it a go? Because right now, I think all indications are that he will be a quote-unquote game-time decision.
I don't know how you can bet the game not knowing if he's playing.
Right?
Unless you're really confident and you have a read and can get ahead of the number moving for the announcement. Yeah. But you're not going to get an announcement till Sunday, probably. Yeah. So I have a hard time backing whoever the Cleveland quarterback is. I don't care who they're playing.
You're not Wacko for Flacco?
Stop. I mean, come on. I want to know what this P.J. Walker did to Stefanski. Mm, mm-hmm. I mean, he must have done something to his family because this is unbelievable to me.
You're P.J. Walker's defense attorney over here.
Well, you are Fields. You're Fields' defense attorney. Now, why can't I be for P.J. Walker? Okay. The guy won 2 out of 3 games. Ball hit a helmet in Seattle. We wouldn't even be talking about all this stuff.
Fam, he's actually in costume right now with his suit.
I mean,
he got the lawyer's suit on. He's got the lawyer's suit on.
Get the billboard up. I
got to sponsor a power play or something at the Knights games.
Yeah, this was a tough game to bet. This game was a tough one to bet, though.
The Palm
this
power is, play.
Yeah. This, I mean.
Isn't it?
It really is, because Beathard, is Trevor Lawrence doing what Patrick Mahomes did from a high ankle sprain? I mean, but that was different, right? And this is too quick, I think, too. I agree with you on that. I would assume Beathard's going to be starting this game.
Does this number end up closing 3.5, 4 once they announce Lawrence is out?
I'd say 4.
4.
I'd say it'd move a point.
All right, well, there you go. Try to get ahead of that news if that news does come later on this week. And we'll get to the other NFL games on the other side. This is Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
College bowl season is here, and VSiN has an early Christmas present, excuse me, for you. It's early. It got me choked up as well. That's so emotional. It's a good, this thing is not a VSiN subscriber yet. No problem. We're giving away this year's college bowl betting guide to everyone. We have spreads, totals, and expert picks from the Golics, Steve Mackinnon, and Brent Musburger for every single bowl game. Put a bow on this bowl season and get a free copy of our VSiN college football bowl betting guide. Absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/bowl guide and get your free copy today. That's a hell of a deal right there. Should go ahead and jump on that. This is the Lombardi Line. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard here. This time of year, everyone's dealing with something. So we're going to go ahead and fight through this thing here. Just, a little under the weather. Not too bad, though. We'll fight through this thing.
You watch this picture where we throw the football, and you might not know this, Pritch, but in junior high,
I don't know this.
I was a wishbone quarterback.
Were you really? I believe that, though.
I was.
Well, that's what we call this triple option.
I was.
I believe that. The veer or the true wishbone?
No, it was a true wishbone. Okay. And we had a decent tight end, too. So, I mean, you could hit it. But, I never grew. Like, in sixth grade, I was the biggest kid in the class. Yeah. And then I never really grew. So, I became, a flanker and a cornerback in high school.
You had John Gruden syndrome.
Yeah.
Because he was an option quarterback, too. But
didn't grow.
Couldn't sprout.
I didn't grow. But,
tight end could play, though?
Lance McElhaney. I really idolized him growing up. I thought he could hold that ball so long on the option.
To your point, Montana ran, not wishbone, but they ran the ball a lot. Yeah.
Every quarterback, we don't get it as much anymore, which is unfortunate, but that was back when college football teams, I mean, we got the wishbone, we had the power eye, we had like, there was so much different all throughout the country. Now it seems like everyone's running the same stuff, which, hey, whatever. I guess that it is what it is. But let's talk some NFL here, because we have some marquee matchups, maybe playoff preview matchups this Sunday, and it starts in Arrowhead where the Chiefs are hosting the Buffalo Bills. This line has continued to tick down, and here we go once again. Buffalo getting respect from the market against a Super Bowl contending team. Right now, that line is sitting at 1.5. Chiefs are the favorites, total 48.5 here. To where are you guys buying this as a potential spot for the Bills to sort of kind of get their season back on track and make a playoff push?
I would love to get 3 here. I mean, I'm just not available, but I mean, to me, you would think this game would have been closer to 3. A lot of respect for the Bills in the market.
Yeah.
And I like the Bills, but I don't know if I only want to take 1.5 here. I mean, I'm really saying they're going to win the game. If I'm going to take 1.5, they're going to lose.
Game lands one.
If they don't win this game, they're not making the playoffs, right? They're up against it anyhow.
Yeah.
I think this is like the most underachieving, talented team out there. And they have the potential to be a big disruptor in the AFC. But this is like an elimination game as far as I'm concerned for them, which gives them a lot of motivation heading into Kansas City. I didn't think Kansas City looked very good on Sunday night at all.
No.
They're very mundane offensively. The Packers move the ball against that great defense that they have this year, right? I'll probably end up passing it and just hoping the Bills win, because I'd like to see the Bills make the playoffs, because I think it would create some betting opportunity.
Well, the way that all the other teams above them are falling back to them, they got an opportunity right now. You know, the thing about the Bills is they came into this season distracted with the comments about Diggs and certainly Josh Allen, not really a strong enough leader in the locker room, that kind of thing, even though the offense revolves around Josh Allen. McDermott under some fire, but that defense is old and not deep. They're old and
not
deep.
Big either.
They're not big, right?
They're small defense.
They got rid of some physical players, and then Milano got hurt. So they're not the same defense. So they are leaky. I mean, they give up a lot of points, but they rely on Josh Allen to bail them out and score a lot of points. And, you know, last time Josh Allen, I mean, we remember that game against Kansas City, and I think that could be in your minds a little bit, but Buffalo is so different than they were back then. I say that back then was a couple of years ago, I think, but then we saw that tremendous football game. Now, on the other side, Kansas City is struggling offensively. They don't have an explosive type of package that they can unveil out there. They're going to have to rely on yards after the catch and certainly a running game. And can the defense kind of keep them in the game against Josh Allen? It's a hard bet for me because I can see this game in so many different ways.
Can I ask you a question about officiating, Pritch?
Absolutely.
At the end of the Packers game Sunday night, the crew blew 4 straight calls. Mahomes is hit totally in bounds. And the field judge, who's 20 yards from that old guy, Rick, throws the flag. The side judge is right there. Right. And Brad Allen's right there, too, following Mahomes on the play. They don't call it. And they get together and still call the penalty. He's obviously down on his back. They let it go. I know they're supposed to let it go and let him review. But now it causes Pacheco to get thrown out because in the buildup of that whole return, he throws a punch. How could 3 guys miss the pass interference against Scantling at the 5-yard line? I mean, he climbed up his back.
Right.
And then the pass to Scantling with 30 seconds left. He's tackled in bounds and he runs 3 yards back to get out. That's obviously still a running clock. Mm-hmm. And the girl calls it out of bounds again. I mean, they blew 4 obvious. Yeah. Did you ever have that happen when you were a player? I know we blow it up because we're in a social media area and we can put this on Twitter and replay it and all that. But did you have that kind of thing where they just missed so 4 obvious calls in critical situations?
No, because I think officiating was better when I played, frankly. And this is the reason why. They got headsets on now. So they get bailed out repeatedly. The communication that they get in their headsets, whether or not they want to admit it, is affecting them as officials. Let them officiate the game the way that they see it and let a crew come together and figure it out that way. Don't have to worry about somebody talking to your ear and saying, this is what I saw. This is what, you know, you guys need to do this. And so I think it's affecting it. But the entertainment value, because now we have these former referees up there for the entertainment value of it, right? And that's what they're going to. But that's what the league feels like the fans want. But they are screwing up a lot of calls now, all because of that headset.
I think I'm just, I'm good on the rules analyst. Like, I don't need it in the broadcast. Yeah. I just don't need it. It's like you said, like it's almost like the refs are now becoming like a part of the whole like perform. It's like, we shouldn't have to notice them.
You might need it once a game or less.
Yeah, it's just
like coming in and telling Aikman, you know, your wrist is your hand, so you're not down if your wrist is. He didn't know that. He said his wrist hit. And whoever it was, Perry or whatever, said, the wrist is a hand, so you're not down on the wrist. Right. But well, and Aikman said, really?
Okay, but common sense is common sense. Like last night, the center. Like, I mean, really? You're going to call what?
Yeah, that was a tough one.
Instead of offsides, you're going to call a legal procedure. Yeah. I mean, because of a head bop. I mean, the interpretation of these rules and the officiating is poor. But the NFL loves the entertainment value of the rules analysts and interjecting that for the audience.
It's just Gene Steratore, Terry McCauley. I'm good on all of it. Do you think, Pritch, because you said that officiating was better when you were playing, do you think that they're asking these guys to look for too much stuff to where it's like there's all these weird there's an emphasis on body weight. There's an emphasis on this, emphasis on all of a sudden now there's an emphasis on a legal man downfield because we're seeing those called a little bit more. Like, do you think that they're asking these guys to look for too much than what they used to do?
I think there was an emphasis on illegal contact, but we see that on every play, right? Past 5 yards. The guys are handsy with each other, right? I think what I'm going back to and what I'm referring to in terms of officiating being better is they used to talk to us before a game. Hey, we're going to call it this way. We can go up to a side judge. We can go up to a back judge. We can go up to a field judge. Hey, how are you looking at this game? How are you looking for this? And they would tell you. Mm-hmm. And then certainly in the course of a game, especially if it's competitive, hey, look, I'm going to call that next time. Don't do that, right?
Yeah.
We don't get that now. We don't get any type of communication. We get it's about us and our officiating more so than we get the fact that, okay, let's make sure we have this competitive situation in these football games.
Yeah, manage the game was what the official is supposed to do, not like become part of the game, which is what they do now, which is unfortunate. Back on the Buffalo side of this, though, because I do think this is an interesting kind of pivot point in their season here to where if the market is correct and they actually end up winning this game, like right now they're a short dog, opened up 3-point dog, now down to 1.5, a lot of interest in this team throughout the week. Is this a team that we should maybe be buying in on for perhaps to win the AFC, to win the Super Bowl? Like, because if they get to the postseason, based on the teams that are in there right now, this could be a pretty dangerous Buffalo Bills team if they were to get hot at the right time. Because we've seen in the past, teams that get hot in the month of December can kind of keep it rolling once we get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think Buffalo's built to make the playoffs, but they're not built to get through the playoffs. Because they don't run the football, they're not physical, and they're not deep enough defensively. And they rely so much on Josh Allen. Now, the way the AFC is playing out, you got Cleveland, you got Indy, you got Houston, Pittsburgh, Denver, Cincinnati, all those teams can fall down to Buffalo.
Let's say they make a wild card. Could they go and win at Miami in a 2-7 or 3-6 matchup?
I wouldn't bet it.
No?
They could win it. I mean, obviously they could win it, right? But, I mean, I wouldn't bet that.
No. So they dominated pretty good in Buffalo earlier in the year.
Sure. We'll see what happens.
We haven't seen the Dolphins beat a winning team.
No, we haven't. Buffalo was different back then, though, right?
Defensively they were different.
Yeah.
Like, what if Buffalo went to Jacksonville or like, you know,
without
like
a quarterback in Jacksonville? I mean, yeah, that's possible, right?
Houston might still win that division if Lawrence is out for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
You never know.
Well, he's a game time decision.
They still
have
to play, but Baltimore still plays everybody. How about this Baltimore schedule? Yeah. Really loaded to the back.
Yeah, they play Jacksonville. They play Miami.
San Francisco. They play everybody. Yeah.
All roads go back to Baltimore, the Charm City. We will get into some futures markets coming up next. Coach of the Year, where it is a lot of competition for the award. We'll discuss it next year on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. Mike Pritchard, Mike Palm, Femi Abebefe here in downtown Las Vegas. Vegas, the place to be for the National Basketball Association. The IST in-season tournament semifinals last night. We saw the Pacers, Elliott's Pacers go ahead and beat the Bucks, and then the Lakers beat the brakes off of the New Orleans Pelicans last night. So now you have Lakers Pacers tomorrow night at T-Mobile. You guys going to the game?
No.
You're not going to go?
I wouldn't. Well, if it was in my backyard, I wouldn't open the curtains. I put it. But JVT, I spent 3 hours with JVT last Saturday because he switched with Ben because his son had a game. So I got to talk basketball for a while, and he's got me a little bit interested. And I have to admit, I bet the game yesterday while we were on air with Tim Murray, and I went under 259 and a half 5 minutes in, and then bet the second half over. So I had a middle. I needed the Bucks to make that three at the end. I know they were fouling, but I got there on the middle. I actually thought it was good. Wes Reynolds so excited for his Pacers.
He is.
You know, they play defense because they're playing for $500,000.
Right.
They're playing defense.
Guys are motivated.
They're fouling down 10. I mean, an NBA game, you're down 5 with 18 seconds. They just walk off the court. So nobody cares.
Yeah.
And it's good for Las Vegas because the Lakers.
Yeah.
Right? That's
yeah,
the big thing for Las Vegas.
And soon to be the Las Vegas Pelicans, maybe. They're in town, too. No, not soon to be. But I normally don't bet the NBA until after Christmas. But this in-season tournament is kind of intriguing, though, right? It's kind of not forcing you, but getting you interested in the fact that they are playing better basketball than typically around this time. It's like after Christmas, a mechanism goes off for these NBA players. And it's certainly after the All-Star game, they really get serious. But no, this championship game is intriguing. I don't know if I'll bet it, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's kudos to Adam Silver, the commissioner. And right now we're looking at the market. The Lakers 4-point favorites total at 240. But it's a Pacer game, so I guess it has to be that high.
I'm intrigued by the new rule they came up with in this tournament, these loose ball timeouts, where you can call timeout when the ball is rolling. What if you could do that in football once a game?
Sure.
Fumble quarterback. If you get the white flag out and hits the ground before clear recovery, you keep the ball.
Right.
Puck's loose in front of the net. Hockey, you throw it out on the... I mean, so...
The loose ball timeout.
Henry Kissinger's doing a good job here with innovation.
Hey, we had to get Vegas's team to Vegas. So
for a moment, did you think that Belichick was trying to tank when that guy jumped offsides on the punt? I mean, come on.
I mean, that was a rough offsides.
But they didn't call it, though.
No. They didn't call it, but that was rough. It's like, dude. Also, I thought that was kind of a rough punt. I was Tomlin, I don't even send the punt unit out. Like, we're going for this.
Yeah.
They only had one timeout left. It's like, we got to go. We're not going to get the ball
back. He wouldn't take the points either.
Though.
I couldn't believe they went there.
Yeah,
at the end of the quarter, I couldn't believe they went there. Why won't you make it a one-score game? A whole quarter to go. It was a very desperate, desperate move.
Poor coach.
One other thing before we get away from the NBA. I hear all these pundits. This would mean so much for LeBron. This would mean so much for KD to win this in-season title.
Legacy.
What are you talking about? How about for the guys at the bottom of the salary scale and the rookie? Wouldn't this $500,000 mean more to them?
Absolutely.
I mean, serious.
Well, what they're telling you is that Michael Jordan never won the in-season tournament.
Oh, that's right. That's what they're saying.
Here we go.
That's what they're saying.
That's what they're telling you. MJ never did it. Magic never did it. Bird never did it.
Bill Russell never.
Yeah. Never. Never. 11 rings, 0 in-season tournament cups.
That's a good line.
It's the facts.
That's
funny. But no, we'll see what happens tomorrow night. We're playing Herb, but we're fine. Maybe the DayQuil's kicking in now. But Mike Tomlin, though, the last couple of weeks probably played himself out of the Coach of the Year running.
Out of the Hall of Fame? Did he play himself out of the Hall of Fame?
He's still in the Hall.
Is he?
My Hall of Fame, at least.
Is he a Hall of Fame coach?
He's working on it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's working
on it. He's not in yet.
I don't think so. He's working on it.
Okay. No losing season, 16, 17 years?
One Super Bowl.
Maybe one coming up.
One Super Bowl.
One Super Bowl. Two Super Bowl appearances, though.
He's working on it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's debatable. He would be there for me.
Okay. At what point, though? Because Mike Shanahan, supposedly, he's going to get in this
year,
right?
He should already be in.
He should have been in
a long time ago. I don't know what the weight is. Everybody's copying his offense.
Right.
I mean, like, that alone should tell you he should be in.
And if he wins another title with San Francisco.
He's definitely in.
A third Super Bowl championship for Mike Shanahan as a head coach.
Well, he's got one with McVay.
He does.
They're
all running his offense.
They're all running it.
So, hey, they put him in there. Just like Eric Coryell, Don Coryell. Like, put it. They put him in. Put Shanahan in. Mike Holmgren, also another one. He needs to be in the Hall. Like, what are we doing? But Coach of the Year right now. I think that this is an interesting market, just where we sit, because it feels a little bit wide open as we head into Week 14. The favorite in the market, Dan Campbell of the Detroit Lions. You have DeMeco Ryan sitting at +250, Mike McDaniel +450, Shane Steichen +500, and then after that, a drop off down to Matt LaFleur and Nick Sirianni, Kyle Shanahan, Kevin O'Connell at 20-1, Sean Payton 22-1, Doug Peterson at 25-1. But right now, I don't know if Dan Campbell should be the favorite. In fact, I think it probably should be DeMeco Ryans based on what the Houston Texans have done through 12 games.
They got a much better price on DeMeco a couple weeks ago.
You could have.
Yeah. See, to me, and so this is my perspective versus voters' perspectives, doesn't it have to do with your preseason expectations?
Yep.
I mean, so if that's the case, DeMeco's obviously the winner. Their win total was 4.5, right? He would be an obvious choice. If Steichen somehow gets this team to the playoffs, you have to consider him.
I mean, that's a really good case.
No one's
really
talking about the Colts. That was a heck of a finish. I picked that game up in like the fourth quarter in Tennessee.
Yeah.
That was an amazing game, and Tennessee misses the extra point, leaves them in the game. Tennessee gets the ball first. You think they're going to go score. Steichen, and then I don't know that Peyton's out of it at 22-1, just as how bad they were at the beginning if they make the playoffs. But to me, they're alternate choices to what I think clearly should be like an even money choice right now, DeMeco Ryans.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Yeah. I mean, I had a ticket on Zach Taylor when Cincinnati went to the Super Bowl, but Vrabel won. Yeah. I remember you said this, Femi, because you were tracking it. What people were saying, the narrative was like he's doing more with less.
With all the injuries the Titans had that year.
Right. So I'm trying to figure out what the parameters are for Coach of the Year, right? Because what Zach Taylor was doing with that team was incredible. But
that vote is before the playoffs.
It is. So, but they were on their way, though.
And that 3-turnover game on their way to the Super Bowl. Right.
And but they were on their way. They were setting records that year as an offense with Burrow and those guys. But DeMeco is doing more with nothing, really, if you think about it, right? I mean, they hit it out the park with C.J. Stroud, and I think Stingley starting to play. So their draft, the defensive end from Alabama that they drafted.
Will Anderson.
So their front office is coming together, and now they got the right coach. Because they looked, well, they didn't really look. They just selected people. But they finally looked, and then they found the right guy for the job now, and he's on his way to winning Coach of the Year. I mean, Shane Steichen is incredible, what he's doing and what that team is capable of right now. If I knew what the criteria was, I mean, how do you deny Kyle Shanahan, though? What he's doing with making that team, I know he's got a great roster, right?
Lost three games. It's a football argument now.
It's
a three-loss team.
But he's made Mystery relevant. He's made and helped Mr. Irrelevant become an MVP candidate. I mean, that to me is coaching. That is coaching, right? Yeah. That is creating an offense in which it doesn't matter what you're trying to stop, you can't.
The Mr. Irrelevant narrative is a false narrative. The guy started 48 games at Iowa State.
Were you impressed with him at Iowa State?
No. He got benched during the Iowa game.
Exactly.
Like, they pulled him out during the Iowa game.
I didn't think he got better from his freshman year to his senior. Right. I was like, what is this guy?
Right.
But he's now an MVP candidate.
But you go from Dan Campbell to Kyle Shanahan, to your argument. That's a big upgrade, I think.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
I'm not a Matt Campbell guy at all.
But Kyle's not going to win. Kyle's not going to win. I get that. But I mean, I wouldn't bet that. Yeah, he's not. But I'm just saying from a coaching standpoint that, I mean, he's done a hell of a job.
Would you bet DeMeco at +275 right now?
No, I like DeMeco after they beat Cincy. I was talking to Gil on his show.
Was it still like 7-6-1 then?
It was up there.
Yeah, it was.
The only thing that my only hang up with DeMeco is that I wonder if, because Stroud is going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, like that's already done. Will Anderson's been coming on as of late to where, like, I think he actually might pose a legit challenger to Jalen Carter for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Are the Houston Texans going to get three awards? Like, and it seems silly to think about it that way, but I do think the voters kind of like to spread the wealth and tell the story of the season with how they vote. I don't know if Houston would win three. And I think honestly, of the three Texans like award candidates, I think DeMeco is probably the one that's the most like on shaky ground, just because I think Anderson can chase down Jalen Carter, and Stroud pretty much already has Offensive Rookie of the Year wrapped up.
Do the same people vote for all awards in the NFL? And it's like 50 people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not 830.
50 like of not the brightest bulbs, but hey, they're also voters. Like, I wonder, I'm like, are they going to give three awards to a team that goes like 10-7?
You make a case for LaFleur.
I think a case is out there to be made.
Yeah.
If they run the table.
I think LaFleur's playoff failures will haunt him still in people.
Okay.
Good.
Right? Like he's, even they make the playoffs, he hasn't proven anything to them because of the disappointments of previous years.
I do think Steichen at plus 500, if they make the playoffs with Minshew, that's a really, really strong case because he's putting that thing together with duct tape. All right, we'll get back to the marquee matchups to start hour number two of the Lombardi Line.